And how are you? Blessed. How blessed we are that the Lord would tell us and speak to us in his word to tell us what he wants of us. He's not a God up there who doesn't participate in our lives, but one who speaks directly to us. As an aside, which I'm not going to preach on, but just to give you an aside, you know, the gospel talks about the Old Testament saint, Abraham. Jesus, who is God and is teaching us something, is teaching us about the intercession of the saints and how the saints have real power because of Christ. And so if God didn't want us to deal with saints, he would have never told us this story. And he talks about how he's talking to Abraham. And Abraham, he goes to the bosom of Abraham. And Abraham is no longer dead, but he's alive. And so he tells that story specifically. And he also is trying to tell us the way we live our life has consequences. If you listen to the first reading and you listen to the gospel, the consequences of people who live their lives and they put themselves first is very dire. Eternal damnation. But the people who live for others, the people who take care of the poor, the people who reach out and live a life other-centered, their eternal life is eternal life, is eternal happiness. So God's trying to give us a hint. Now, I was down in Tampa, and it was quite fun, you know, because I spoke at a women's conference. Now, even here in Erie, I've always thought there's a big difference between the women's conference and the men's conference. Oh, please, not even close. Down there, the difference between a women's conference and a men's conference is they sell clothes and everything down there. They have 60 booths for the women to buy things. And the women go crazy with all that stuff. It was unbelievable. And they had all these tables, and each table had flowers on it. And behind the stage, there was all this big thing with all these big flowers. There was no cross there, which I made a point of. But anyway, but there were flowers, and life is beautiful, and all this kind of fun stuff. But I was the first speaker, and they responded quite well to me. I was being very gentle because it was all women, of course. But before we started off there with the mass, and the Bishop Gregory down there, who is 6'8", 6'8", and he's 5 years younger than me. And he's been a bishop for like 6 years. Now, how that happened, I'm not sure. And he didn't get ordained till he was 35. It just kept saying, I says, forget it. What are you going to do? But he was a banker before he went to seminary. I think that explains it. But anyway, in all these years of me dealing with bishops, he was the only bishop I've ever met who in the back when we met each other, and we had a fine time, when we were in the back, he had his Bible with him. He carried the Bible in with him. He preached using the Holy Word of God. I thought, yeah, man, this is a good man. And so, and when he talked, you know, reading from the Holy Word, it was so important. And so today, when we listen to the second reading, which I want to share with you, I just want to go back and I brought the Bible to. And here, you know, the second reading, first of all, before, this is in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. But right before in verse 10, he talks about, for the love of money is the root of all evils. Now, we talked a little bit about that last week. Well, we talked a lot about that last week. And it says, friend, some people for their desire for it have strayed from the faith and have pierced themselves with many pains. So then he talks, flee from that stuff. Now he tells Timothy who he is, and God now tells us who we are. He says, but you, man of God. Now, again, this phrase, man of God, was used for Moses, used for Abraham. It's a very strong title. And then he says that, and that's what he calls Timothy. He reminds him who he is. So God wants to remind you and me who we are. You are a man or a daughter of God. This is who you are. And it's important that he reminds us of this, because when we're reminded about who we are, then that demands something from us. So if we are men and women of God, if we are people of God, if we are sons and daughters of the Father, if we are princes and princesses of the kingdom, what does that demand of us? And then he tells us, you know, God doesn't let us, you know, I don't know what to tell you, go try to do your best. He says explicitly, this is what God asks of you and of me. Now, I liked it in the beginning, but I didn't like it towards the end, and you'll hear why. He says, avoid all this. So flee from all this. Flee all this seeking money and all that stuff. Instead, pursue righteousness, which is what we're God. God is a righteous God, and we're supposed to pursue that. That's good moral conduct. We're just. We're people of just. We're doing as God wants us to do. So pursue righteousness. Okay, I can do that. And then it says, devotion. So be devoted in your prayer life. Have devotion to God. Have your prayers. Not to that. I can do that. Faith. Yeah, I can do that. Give me some faith. We can do faith. Love. It's getting a little harder. Patience. Forget it. And gentleness. I have no hope. But the reality is, this is what God's calling us to live, right? This is what he wants of you. And he says, I want you to pursue it. He wants me to pursue it. So he wants me to pursue and grow in righteousness, grow in faith, grow in devotion, grow in love, grow in patience, grow in gentleness. This is what he wants of you, of me. And then he wants us to pursue it. So that means that one of the good things are, you know, I do a lot now with bullet journaling. I don't know if you know what bullet journaling is, but every morning I sit there and I write out all my bullet points of what I'm going to do this day, and you cross it off. It's more than it has also a journal in there. It keeps my water, how much water I drink when I exercise, when I'm fasting, who I'm fasting for. But it gives me things to work on. And so one of the things I'd encourage you is that you do write these things down. Write righteousness, write devotion, write faith, write love, write patience, write gentleness. And then start working on these qualities. Ask God for the grace to live these qualities. And then every day in the morning, sit there and say, okay, I'm going to work on this quality today. And then at night, sit there and think about, did I pursue this? Did I grow in this quality? Was I more loving today? Was I more patient today? Was I more gentle today? Did I live by faith today? And again, when we don't, you don't go crazy over that. God wants us to grow and pursue these. So you make a thing that, okay, tomorrow I will. I'll grow in this. Boy, I messed up on this today, but I'll grow in it tomorrow by your grace, Lord. And see, what that does is it's making us pursue something. We're working on it. We're not just sitting there feeling bad because I'm not a gentle person, right? We're not just feeling bad because I'm not a patient person. We can, but does that do anything when you feel bad about something? Not normally. It makes you look at yourself even more and think about how terrible a person you and I are. I'm never going to be patient. I'm never going to be gentle. It's just not in me. No, but it's in God who lives inside of you. So when you and I pursue these things, we can grow in them. So just a thought. Write them down. Focus on them. Ask God for the grace to grow in them. And then try every day to grow in these virtues. You got it? Get it? Gonna do it? May each of you know his love today and forever. Amen.